And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday around this time. Thanks to ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How is the crew at Lloyd's this past week? I assume busy. You guys are always kind of got to keep on your toes every week, right?
Yeah, when you were in not too long ago, and you can see things have really ramped up with, you know, all the college kids home from school and people getting ready for their summer road trip. So if you're planning a road trip, get a hold of your shop or your dealership and get on their schedule because things are filling up for sure.
You know, I've never talked about this, I don't believe, but, I mean, you at Lloyd's are limited to Spartan. You get a lot of folks coming in because people trust you. Parking space. I mean, you and your crews, as I said, you got to keep working because it's not like you have a parking space for 1,000 cars.
No, it's a orchestrated chaos, I guess, is the best way to put it. But, yeah, we service a lot of vehicles, and, you know, we're in the middle of the city, so there's limited parking, so we're always moving things.
Yeah, all the time, yeah. Well, if you have any kind of a car care question, if you need to bring in your vehicle for service, you know something's wrong with it, but you can't really pin it down, and maybe that you're not that kind of a do-it-yourselfer, and you want to kind of know what could be ailing before you do bring it in to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer, why don't you give Nick a call or send a text, either one. And keep in mind, Nick will be here till just about 7:45. So, again, our time goes by very quickly. So call Nick, text Nick, either way, 651-461-9226. We always like to say you don't have to be a motorhead, a gearhead, to ask any kind of a detailed question. If you drive and there are problems, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. While we're waiting for some other questions to come in earlier this morning, I mean really early, a texter sent a pretty long paragraph, but basically it's asking about, because, you know, you and I talk about the testing that every so many years you and your technicians need to kind of go through that ASC certification. They're asking about electric cars now. I mean, is this something that technicians, is this another added part of the learning? Tell us about that, because we are starting to get more questions about electric cars and the work you guys have to do on them.
Well, as they become more common, as we know, there is a lot more training that is offered through a variety of you know, schools and vendors and such. So, you know, we always, you know, we see a lot of stuff on the news and the media, and then we're always kind of waiting for it. And it is starting to trickle in. There is, you know, ASC does have some certifications also, like they do with hybrid and diesels and all the traditional vehicles and many other options there too. But as they become more of a mainstay and more of a common theme, we start to see more training and more availability, even in part.
We're having a little trouble, Nick. You're kind of breaking up here and there, and I'm not sure why. So let's do this. I'm going to try to grab a phone call. We're gonna reboot, as we say. And Dennis, let's take a quick break here and be right back and get this stuff straightened out. Again, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, 651-461-9226. Nick, we're going to grab a phone call and get back to more text questions. But for those that maybe need the help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely, Denny. If you ever have a question or need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that and get you that information before Nick leaves us today, which is about 7:45. So call or text earlier rather than later. Phone call. Let's grab one. Richard calling in from Zimmerman, I believe, this morning. Thanks for waiting, Richard. What is your question for Nick?
I've got a 2012 Yukon. I was driving it yesterday, and it all of a sudden overheated. Has never done that before. I was only about a mile from home. Went home, let it cool down, checked the reservoir, and then later in the day it didn't do it. I just drove it again this morning, again even further than I driven yesterday, and it seems to be just fine. Is it something... was like the thermostat stuck, or is there something I should be checking out pretty quick here?
Well, I would caution you for sure. I mean, it could be a stuck thermostat, not very common. Also possible that the temperature sender or gauge on the dash was inaccurate. Maybe something with that sending unit made it go to the hot when it actually was not. So I would be very cautious. Obviously, you don't want a vehicle overheating on you. So I would drive it, pay attention, don't get too far from home, build some confidence. If you notice anything strange, maybe have it brought in to get a closer look at.
All right, very good. Texter asked this, Nick, about transmission fluid. Texter says, I bought a car with 60,000 miles on it. It is a 2007 Chrysler van. Texter doesn't think the transmission fluid or filter has ever been changed. It now has 100,000 miles on it. Do I need to do something with the transmission fluid?
Well, on a variety of vehicles, there's a different level of maintenance schedule. So as always, we say, Denny, check the manual, check online, look at a maintenance schedule. Sometimes it'll call for the fluid to be serviced at 60 or 100. Some might even say it's not required. So every vehicle is a little different. Check on your particular vehicle or call a shop or your dealership to figure out what that schedule is. And it should be changed on schedule. So it's a kind of a yes and no, my best answer.
Yeah, but like you just said, some vehicles, some manufacturers say, no, forget it. You don't have to do it. And they mean it all, I presume, for the life of the car.
That's true, and it makes me a little nervous, to be honest. I don't think anything lasts forever, but the manufacturers have their reasonings too.
All right. Back to the phones we go. David's calling in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. David, good morning. What is your question, please?
Hi. I had a damage to a tire that had about 4,500 miles on it. It was the right front. So it was covered under warranty, and they replaced it. They put it on the right rear, the new one, and moved the rear to the front. And they said at 500 miles, I should have them switched around. Just those two. Well, when I took it in, there was some confusion, and they rotated all the tires. Now, he said it's a Subaru Forester. It's four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. So they said it really didn't make any difference. But should I have the driver's side rotated back to the way it was for a few thousand miles, or is it just fine to leave it as it is and just go through my normal rotation schedule?
I believe you're likely fine. The reasoning is the tread depth or the tire height. As tires wear, it's not a large amount, but the height of the tire changes, so the circumference changes. So when we're driving down the road, those tires can be turning at a different speed, which can be hard on the transmission, differential, transfer cases, the slipping mechanism. So what they're trying to do is make sure that the tires are at the best positions or the most equal position. So if you're in for your next service, have them measure the tread depth, and they can adjust accordingly. Also keep in mind, no two tires or any four tires are exactly the same pressure and air pressure. So if there's a pressure or a pound or two difference here and there, that's also going to change it a little bit. So if the tires are close in tread depth, you're just fine. You don't need to worry about it. If there's a little bit more significant difference in depth, maybe get a closer look and pay closer attention to that.
Interesting, Nick, as we were getting a question about tires, another one came in via text, and it says this: I spotted a nail in my tire yesterday. I got an appointment to get it looked at today. Do you think it's best to leave the nail in until I get it looked at? It's not losing air, so I assume it's either not deep or the nail is holding the air in. What would you do in that case, Nick?
I would leave it in there because it may not appear to be leaking, but if it had puncture all the way through and you pull it out, it'll be leaking a lot and you won't make it to the shop. So leave it as is. Get to the shop, have them remove it, and get a closer look. You don't want to be stuck at home around halfway to the place of business.
I've seen you or your crews at Lloyd's repair tires that have had a nail put in, and even if it's a brand new tire or older one, I mean, the process is pretty good, isn't it? I mean, you can really plug that hole, and it stays pretty solid, doesn't it?
There are many thoughts and processes repairing tires, but yeah, my opinion is once you repair a tire, that repair will last the life of the tire, so you won't have any concerns going forward or any need to do anything additional. It just kind of goes into the back of your mind and keep driving.
Yeah. Call or text 651-461-9226. Nick will take his leave in about 15 minutes or so. Why is synthetic oil, texter says, more expensive than conventional, do you think? Love the show. Well, thank you for that.
So synthetic oil, it varies in quality and the amount of, if it's 100% synthetic or semi-synthetic, but it's a lot to do with the chemistry and the additives and the science behind it. Typically, in most cases, the more expensive stuff tends to be more of a 100% or a pure synthetic, where some of the lesser expensive versions are maybe a blend. And, you know, as always, we say, check your owner's manual, follow what's recommended. There's nothing wrong with upgrading oil. You know, if you're want to use a full synthetic and it's calling for a blend, you can upgrade. You know, it's your preference. It's not going to hurt anything. And it might help some, too, to be honest. But it's the kind of price is how you determine how good a lot of those products are.
Seems the tires seem to be in people's minds this morning. Here's something, a question I've never seen before. Do tires need to be replaced every 5 years regardless of mileage? I've never heard of that.
No. I know we always worry about the age of a tire, the rubber compound change, and it does happen. That is true. There is a date code on the side of a tire. But if you drive like most of us and you're kind of in the normal you know, 10,000 miles, we'll call it. You know, you get to 5-6 years, you're going to be at 50, 60,000 miles, which is a typical life on most tires. Some are less, some are more. But in most cases, if you're at 60,000 miles at 5 years, you don't have to replace them because of age, but you'll probably be needing them because they wore out.
Oh, okay. Very good. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for that forecast. We've got a hot Father's Day coming up tomorrow and some more showers coming in today. Maybe tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday. We'll get your details coming along in just a matter of minutes. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We happen to be here, thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive, every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Call in or text in any kind of a car care question you might have at 651-461-9226. If for some reason, and you know how this works, Nick, sometimes we get on one topic and folks have kind of continue with the same questions. There's
Let
kind
me
of
guess,
another
tires.
Tires. You're right. But this is a little different. We're talking about how tires, even if they sit in the garage for years, they can get old and brittle even if you don't put miles on them. Does a product question is, like Armor-All on the side walls of a tire, help the rubber from deteriorating quicker than like a dry rot or something? I'm not so sure if that's true.
I can't say that either. It makes the tires look nice. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to prolong or protect the tire from its natural, you know, chemistry change. You know, the rubber does get harder. It does kind of change. You can tell when you see an older tire has maybe a little more of a brown tint to it. But, you know, if you're concerned about the age of your tire, on the sidewall, there's a code. Look up your manufacturer of the brand of the tire you have in, on their website, or you know, dig around a little bit, and you'll find where you can enter the code to tell you the age of the tire. But if you drive like most of us, this is something you do not need to worry about. You know, if you're even if your car is 7 years, 8 years old, and the tires are original, and you drive it on a regular basis, you're fine. I wouldn't raise any caution to any of this. You know, if the car is 20 years old and has been sitting in the garage for 20 years, well, that's a different conversation. But for most of our listeners and for most people out there, you have nothing to worry about.
Nick, here's a text that obviously is a do-it-yourselfer. He or she says, I am replacing the front coil spring over shocks on my truck. It has three mounting bolts on top. How do I know what orientation to put it in? Match the old one, maybe?
Yes. I mean, typically what I would do is take a picture with my phone and going back together, try to put it back the way it came apart. If you're dealing with coil springs, for people who don't know what that is, a coil spring or a leaf spring is a spring that holds that corner of the vehicle up off the ground. So be very careful when you're working on those. There's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of, you know, make sure it's completely unloaded, meaning that it's loose. It's not the weight of the vehicle is not holding any of it, because trying to take that out, it can kind of come undone on you and go flying somewhere and maybe even hurt somebody. So when you take it apart, take a photo ahead of time, going back together, match that photo, and you should be fine.
Another do-it-yourself question. The texter wants to know, I'm thinking about replacing my brake fluid. I've never done this before. Do you think it's a good idea to do it by myself? And if so, what might be good steps to do so?
Well, if you get on your computer again, do a little research. It's difficult to do alone, because typically when you open that system, you can introduce air to it. So when that happens, we need to bleed the air out of the system. So usually requires a person to depress the pedal, creating the pressure. Then we release that pressure by opening the bleeder at each wheel. So make sure you do all of your research. Make sure you have a way of kind of collecting that brake fluid, cleaning up the mess when you're done. So it's a bit of a process. If you're in a garage or in a shop, it's pretty easy, because we do all the time. But if you're at home, it might be a little more difficult. So I would do your research. If you're comfortable doing it and you have some help, by all means, we'd love when our listeners do their own stuff. If you have any questions, make sure you ask before you end up in a situation. What can happen is if you get air into that system, your brake pedal becomes not very responsive, which can be dangerous. So, you know, once again, do your research. Make sure you know what you're doing before you go down that road.
Nick, I think we have time for one more phone call. Jerry is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Jerry, what is your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. I've got a 2019 Ford F-150 5.0 engine in it. The transmission doesn't seem to be operating right. When downshifts right away in the morning, I think I get a slight clunking. Sometimes it almost seems like it slips. Are there any service bulletins on that 10-speed transmission?
You know, they do shift differently. You know, it's you know, if you're an older guy and you've been driving a lot of vehicles, it feels different, which isn't all bad. You know, I'm not aware of any service bulletin about any kind of adjustment or service that needs to be done to it. The best thing you can do is, first thing, you can take your vehicle identification number, do a little research, see if there's a recall or anything like that. You can check with an actual dealership to see if they know of any service bulletins. But keep in mind, those 10-speed transmissions are different than an old 4 or 5-speed, because they're shifting more often and a little more sensitive, so you're going to feel more of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong. So check with your dealer, but I suspect it's probably normal.
Yeah. Nick, we have to run. Always a pleasure. Let's do this again next week. And in the meantime, if folks need some help at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, as you know, Denny, we're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, I'd really appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Nick, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You too, Denny. Happy Father's Day also.
And to you. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. Then Mary Meyer from the U of M will be answering lawn and garden questions in the 8 o'clock hour. Straight ahead here, News Talk 830. This is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show here every Saturday around this time. Thanks to ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a great place called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How is the crew at Lloyd's this past week? I assume busy. You guys are always kind of got to keep on your toes every week, right?
Yeah, when you were in not too long ago, and you can see things have really ramped up with, you know, all the college kids home from school and people getting ready for their summer road trip. So if you're planning a road trip, get a hold of your shop or your dealership and get on their schedule because things are filling up for sure.
You know, I've never talked about this, I don't believe, but, I mean, you at Lloyd's are limited to Spartan. You get a lot of folks coming in because people trust you. Parking space. I mean, you and your crews, as I said, you got to keep working because it's not like you have a parking space for 1,000 cars.
No, it's a orchestrated chaos, I guess is the best way to put it. But yeah, we service a lot of vehicles, and you know we're in the middle of the city, so there's limited parking. So we're always moving things.
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. Well, if you have any kind of a car care question, if you need to bring in your vehicle for service, you know something's wrong with it, but you can't really pin it down, and maybe that you're not that kind of a do-it-yourselfer. And you want to kind of know what could be ailing before you do bring it in to your favorite shop or your favorite dealer. Why don't you give Nick a call or send a text, either one. And keep in mind, Nick will be here till just about 7:45. So, again, our time goes by very quickly. So call Nick, text Nick, either way, 651-461-9226. We always like to say you don't have to be a motorhead, a gearhead, to ask any kind of a detailed question. If you drive and there are problems, let's hear from you. 651-461-9226. While we're waiting for some other questions to come in earlier this morning, I mean really early, a texter sent a pretty long paragraph, but basically it's asking about, because, you know, you and I talk about the testing that every so many years you and your technicians need to kind of go through that ASC certification. They're asking about electric cars now. I mean, is this something that technicians, is this another added part of the learning? Tell us about that, because we are starting to get more questions about electric cars and the work you guys have to do on them.
Well, as they become more common, as we know, there is a lot more training that is offered through a variety of you know, schools and vendors and such. So, you know, we always, you know, we see a lot of stuff on the news and the media, and then we're always kind of waiting for it. And it is starting to trickle in. There is, you know, ASC does have some certifications also, like they do with hybrid and diesels and all the traditional vehicles and many other options there too. But as they become more of a mainstay and more of a common theme, we start to see more training and more availability, even in part.
We're having a little trouble, Nick. You're kind of breaking up here and there, and I'm not sure why. So let's do this. I'm going to try to grab a phone call. We're gonna reboot, as we say. And Dennis, let's take a quick break here and be right back and get this stuff straightened out. Again, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, 651-461-9226. Nick, we're going to grab a phone call and get back to more text questions. But for those that maybe need the help at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely, Denny. If you ever have a question or need advice, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you happen to be in St. Paul on Grand Avenue. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And finally, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We'll do that and get you that information before Nick leaves us today, which is about 7:45. So call or text earlier rather than later. Phone call. Let's grab one. Richard calling in from Zimmerman, I believe, this morning. Thanks for waiting, Richard. What is your question for Nick?
I've got a 2012 Yukon. I was driving it yesterday, and it all of a sudden overheated. Has never done that before. I was only about a mile from home. Went home, let it cool down, checked the reservoir, and then later in the day it didn't do it. And I just drove it again this morning, again even further than I driven yesterday, and it seems to be just fine. Is it something? Was like the thermostat stuck, or is there something I should be checking out pretty quick here?
Well, I would caution you for sure. I mean, it could be a stuck thermostat, not very common. Also possible that the temperature sender or the gauge on the dash was inaccurate. Maybe something with that sending unit made it go to the hot when it actually was not. So I would be very cautious. Obviously, you don't want a vehicle overheating on you. So I would drive it, pay attention, don't get too far from home, build some confidence. If you notice anything strange, maybe have it brought in to get a closer look at.
All right, very good. Texter asked this, Nick, about transmission fluid. Texter says, I bought a car with 60,000 miles on it. It is a 2007 Chrysler van. Texter doesn't think the transmission fluid or filter has ever been changed. It now has 100,000 miles on it. Do I need to do something with the transmission fluid?
Well, on a variety of vehicles, there's a different level of maintenance schedule. So, as always, we say, Denny, check the manual, check online, look at a maintenance schedule. Sometimes it'll call for the fluid to be serviced at 60 or 100. Some might even say it's not required. So, every vehicle's a little different. Check on your particular vehicle, or call a shop or your dealership to figure out what that schedule is. And it should be changed on schedule. So it's a kind of a yes and no, my best answer.
Yeah, but like you just said, some vehicles, some manufacturers say, no, forget it. You don't have to do it. And they mean it all, I presume, for the life of the car.
That's true. And it makes me a little nervous, to be honest. I don't think anything lasts forever, but, you know, the manufacturers have their reasonings too.
All right. Back to the phones we go. David's calling in from St. Paul, I believe, this morning. David, good morning. What is your question, please?
Hi. I had a damage to a tire that had about 4,500 miles on it. It was the right front. So it was covered under warranty, and they replaced it. They put it on the right rear, the new one, and moved the rear to the front. And they said at 500 miles, I should have them switched around, just those two. Well, when I took it in, there was some confusion, and they rotated all the tires. Now, he said it's a Subaru Forester. It's four-wheel drive or all-wheel drive. So they said it really didn't make any difference. But should I have the driver's side rotated back to the way it was for a few thousand miles, or is it just fine to leave it as it is and just go through my normal rotation schedule?
I believe you're likely fine. The reasoning is the tread depth or the tire height. You know, as tires wear, it's not a large amount, but the height of the tire changes, so the circumference changes. So when we're driving down the road, those tires can be turning at a different speed, which can be hard on the transmission, differential, transfer cases, you know, the slipping mechanism. So what they're trying to do is make sure that the tires are at the best positions or the most equal position. So if you're in for your next service, have them measure the tread depth, and they can adjust accordingly. Also keep in mind, like, no two tires or any four tires are exactly the same pressure and air pressure. So if there's a pressure or a pound or two difference here and there, that's also going to change it a little bit. So if the tires are close in tread depth, you're just fine. You don't need to worry about it. If there's a little bit more significant difference in depth, maybe get a closer look and pay closer attention to that.
Interesting, Nick, as we were getting a question about tires, another one came in via text, and it says this. I spotted a nail in my tire yesterday. Got an appointment to get it looked at today. Do you think it's best to leave the nail in until I get it looked at? It's not losing air, so I assume it's either not deep or the nail is holding the air in. What would you do in that case, Nick?
I would leave it in there because it may not appear to be leaking, but if it had puncture all the way through and you pull it out, it'll be leaking a lot and you won't make it to the shop. So leave it as is, get to the shop, have them remove it and get a closer look. You don't want to be stuck at home around halfway to the place of business.
I've seen you or your crews at Lloyd's repair tires that have had a nail put in. And even if it's a brand new tire or older one, I mean, the process is pretty good, isn't it? I mean, you can really plug that hole and it stays pretty solid, doesn't it?
There are many thoughts and processes to repairing tires. But yeah, my opinion is once you repair a tire, that repair will last the life of the tire. So you won't have any concerns going forward or any need to do anything additional. It just kind of goes into the back of your mind and keep driving.
Yeah. Call or text 651-461-9226. Nick will take his leave in about 15 minutes or so. Why is synthetic oil, texter says, more expensive than conventional, do you think? Love the show. Well, thank you for that.
So synthetic oil, it varies in quality and the amount of, if it's 100% synthetic or semi-synthetic, but it's a lot to do with the chemistry and the additives and the science behind it. Typically, in most cases, the more expensive stuff tends to be more of a 100% or a pure synthetic, where some of the lesser expensive versions are maybe a blend. And, you know, as always, we say, check your owner's manual, follow what's recommended. There's nothing wrong with upgrading oil. You know, if you want to use a full synthetic and it's calling for a blend, you can upgrade. You know, it's your preference. It's not going to hurt anything. And it might help some, too, to be honest. But it's the kind of price is how you determine how good a lot of those products are.
Seems the tires seem to be in people's minds this morning. Here's something, a question I've never seen before. Do tires need to be replaced every 5 years regardless of mileage? I've never heard of that.
No. I know we always worry about the age of a tire, the rubber compound change, and it does happen. That is true. There is a date code on the side of a tire. But if you drive like most of us and you're kind of in the normal you know, 10,000 miles, we'll call it. You know, you get to 5-6 years, you're going to be at 50, 60,000 miles, which is a typical life on most tires. Some are less, some are more. But in most cases, if you're at 60,000 miles at 5 years, you don't have to replace them because of age, but you're probably needing them because of wore out.
Oh, okay. Very good. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break for that forecast. We've got a hot Father's Day coming up tomorrow and some more showers coming in today. Maybe tomorrow night, Monday, Tuesday. We'll get your details coming along in just a matter of minutes. If you have any kind of a car care question, let's hear from you, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. From News Talk A3O, this is WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We happen to be here, thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive, every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Call in or text in any kind of a car care question you might have at 651-461-9226. If for some reason, and you know how this works, Nick, sometimes we get on one topic and folks have kind of continue with the same questions. There's
Let
kind of
guess,
another
tires.
Tires. You're right. But this is a little different. We're talking about how tires, even if they sit in the garage for years, they can get old and brittle even if you don't put miles on them. Does a product, question is, like Armor-All on the side walls of a tire help the rubber from deteriorating quicker than like a dry rot or something? I'm not so sure if that's true.
I can't say that either. It makes the tires look nice. We all know that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's going to prolong or protect the tire from its natural, you know, chemistry change. You know, the rubber does get harder. It does kind of change. You can tell when you see an older tire has maybe a little more of a brown tint to it. But, you know, if you're concerned about the age of your tire, on the sidewall, there's a code. Look up your manufacturer of the brand of the tire you have in, on their website, or you know, dig around a little bit, and you'll find where you can enter the code to tell you the age of the tire. But if you drive like most of us, this is something you do not need to worry about. You know, if you're even if your car is 7 years, 8 years old, and the tires are original, and you drive on a regular basis, you're fine. I wouldn't raise any caution to any of this. You know, if the car is 20 years old and has been sitting in the garage for 20 years, well, that's a different conversation. But for most of our listeners and for most people out there, you have nothing to worry about.
Nick, here's a text that obviously is a do-it-yourselfer. He or she says, I am replacing the front coil spring over shocks on my truck. It has three mounting bolts on top. How do I know what orientation to put it in? Match the old one, maybe?
Yes. I mean, typically what I would do is take a picture with my phone and going back together, try to put it back the way it came apart. If you're dealing with coil springs, for people who don't know what that is, a coil spring or a leaf spring is a spring that holds that corner of the vehicle up off the ground. So be very careful when you're working on those. There's a lot of pressure there. There's a lot of, you know, make sure it's completely unloaded, meaning that it's loose. It's not the weight of the vehicle is not holding any of it, because trying to take that out, it can kind of come undone on you and go flying somewhere and maybe even hurt somebody. So when you take it apart, take a photo ahead of time, going back together, match that photo, and you should be fine.
Another do-it-yourself question. The texter wants to know, I'm thinking about replacing my brake fluid. I've never done this before. Do you think it's a good idea to do it by myself? And if so, what might be a good steps to do so?
Well, if you get on your computer again, do a little research. It's difficult to do alone, because typically when you open that system, you can introduce air to it. So when that happens, we need to bleed the air out of the system. So usually requires a person to depress the pedal, creating the pressure. Then we release that pressure by opening the bleeder at each wheel. So make sure you do all of your research. Make sure you have a way of kind of collecting that brake fluid, cleaning up the mess when you're done. So it's a bit of a process. If you're in a garage or in a shop, it's pretty easy, because we do all the time. But if you're at home, it might be a little more difficult. So I would do your research. If you're comfortable doing it and you have some help, by all means, we'd love when our listeners do their own stuff. If you have any questions, make sure you ask before you end up in a situation. What can happen is if you get air into that system, your brake pedal becomes not very responsive, which can be dangerous. So, you know, once again, do your research. Make sure you know what you're doing before you go down that road.
Nick, I think we have time for one more phone call. Jerry is calling in from Maple Grove this morning. Jerry, what is your question for Nick?
Good morning, guys. I've got a 2019 Ford F-150 5.0 engine in it. The transmission doesn't seem to be operating right. When downshifts right away in the morning, I think I get a slight clunking. Sometimes it almost seems like it slips. Are there any service bulletins on that 10-speed transmission?
You know, they do shift differently. You know, it's you know, if you're an older guy and you've been driving a lot of vehicles, it feels different, which isn't all bad. You know, I'm not aware of any service bulletin about any kind of adjustment or service that needs to be done to it. The best thing you can do is, first thing, you can take your vehicle identification number, do a little research, see if there's a recall or anything like that. You can check with an actual dealership to see if they know of any service bulletins. But keep in mind, those 10-speed transmissions are different than an old 4- or 5-speed, because they're shifting more often and a little more sensitive, so you're going to feel more of that. But it doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong. So check with your dealer, but I suspect it's probably normal.
Yeah. Nick, we have to run. Always a pleasure. Let's do this again next week. And in the meantime, if folks need some help at Lloyd's, how do we find you?
Yes, sir. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call 651-228-1316. If you're in St. Paul, as you know, Denny, we're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, I'd really appreciate if you check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
We will do that very thing. Nick, have a good week, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
You too, Denny. Happy Father's Day also.
And to you. Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Get ready for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat, then Mary Meyer from the U of M will be answering lawn and garden questions in the 8 o'clock hour. Straight ahead here, News Talk 830. This is WCCO.